भंगरहितम आजडम विमलम सदा आनंदतीतमतुलम अदे तापत्रयापहम मिथ्या सिद्धांत दुध्वांत विध्वंसन अविचक्षण वैतीताख्यता निर्भासता नो हृदंबरे अर्थिकल्पितकल्पोय प्रत्यक्षकेसरी व्यासदीर्थोर्भूयाद् अस्मदिष्टात् सिद्धये तपोविद्याविरक्त्यादि सद्गुणोपाकरानां वादिराजगुरून् वन्दे हेग्रीप्राश्रयान् पूज्याय राघवेन्द्राय सिद्धन्मरताय च भजतां कल्पवृक्षाय नमतां कामधेनवे दुर्वादिध्वान्तरवये वैष्णवेन्दीवरेन्द्रवे श्रीराघवेन्दुगुरवे नमो चिन्तयाळवे आपादमौलिपर्यन्तं गुरूणां वाक्तुं स्मरेत् तेन विघ्नाः पश्यन्ति सिद्धिं च मनोरथाः. हरिः ओं श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः. वी आर् डूयिङ्ग् विष्णुसहस्रनाम. ऐ जस्ट् टेल् द ऋषि देवता सन्देस् अण्ड् स्टार्ट्. अस्य श्रीविष्णु दिव्यसहस्रनामस्तोत्रमहामन्त्रस्य श्रीवेदव्यासो भगवान् ऋषिः अनुष्टुप्छन्दः श्रीमहाविष्णुः परमात्मा श्रीमन्नारायणो देवता श्रीलक्ष्मीनारायणप्रसादसिद्ध्यते जपे विनियोगः. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. ॐ विश्वस्मै नमः. ॐ विश्वं विष्णुर्वषट्कारो भूतभव्यभवत्प्रभुः भूतकृत् भूतभृद्भावो भूतात्मा भूतभावनः भूतात्मा परमात्मा च मुक्तानां परमागतिः अव्ययपुरुषस्साक्षी क्षेत्रज्ञक्षर एव च योगो योगविदां नेता प्रधानपुरुषेश्वरः नारसिंहोऽपुश्रीमान् केशवपुरुषोत्तमः सर्वशर्वशिवस्ताणुर्भूतादिर्निधिरव्ययः सम्भवो भावनो भर्ता प्रभवप्रभुरीश्वरः. So here we did Prabhavaha, both English and Kannada. Prabhuhu we did in Kannada. So today we will be doing Prabhuhu in English. Before we doing that, I just want to kind of mention a couple of points. Lot of people have the doubt, like, the Vishnu Sahasranama recitation. What, there are a lot of slokas in the front, a lot of slokas later on, and there are various different ways of saying. So how should that be recited? Which ones to be sold? And especially there's one sloka that a lot of people say and some don't say. Like, for example, at the end, they say, Vanamali Gadi Shangi Shanki Chakri Chanandaki. So whether that is to be told or not to be told, and also the Purva Pitika and Uttara Pitika, should that be told? So all these questions will come naturally. So I prepared a document, probably which I will share after the class maybe. So the document tells the recitation modes. So basically I put it in like a three modes. One is just telling a Vishnu Sahasranama with just Rushiriyata Chandasu, what we are doing now. And the second mode is just telling the Purva Pitika and Uttara Pitika. And the third mode is the full detailed one where a lot of other slokas are also added. So basically you can say the three modes, and I have mentioned all the three modes. And also that Vanamali Gadishanangi, that sloka is not there in that context in Mahabharata Vishnu Sahasranama thing. So basically it starts with Yudhishthira asking Bhishma and then Bhishma telling. So if you count the sloka, there are about 12 slokas which come before Vishnu Sahasranama. So this Vishnu Sahasranama's sloka count, the first sloka is not actually number one. But even if you start counting Vishnu Sahasranama slokas itself, what happens is it comes to about 107. So they wanted to make it 108, a good number. So they picked up a sloka from somewhere. I don't know why it is picked up, but it's not part of Mahabharata. But why only that sloka? Why can't be maybe a Suklam Bhadram or some other sloka? So there's no need to add that sloka. So that Vanamali Gadi Shangi, that particular sloka is not there. So there's no need to add that sloka. And also so many other things like Om Namaiti and all that kind of a thing, that is also is not logical. Like, there's no need to add that kind of extension. So in that document, whatever is the popular way and how it is to be corrected, all that I mentioned. So just wanted to mention that. And the second point is, like, we are seeing, so like, the Vishnu Sahasranama meanings, when we are seeing nama rupa guna kriya, so the names are there, Vishnu Sahasranama, each name, then we are thinking about through rupa and guna. So the rupa chintane has to come for getting the Rupa Chintane, the gunas, we talk about that, so that will give a kind of a rough idea how we should meditate upon that particular name, that particular Rupa, and that particular guna. So the gunas and the kriyas. So while exploring the meanings, we are listing out the gunas and also we are mentioning the kriya. The function of Paramatma, like he does Ananta Ananta functions, but with this name, what type of kriyas can be thought about? So basically, like for example, Shushti Sthiti Laya, Ashtavidha Vyapara, probably we can see across all the namas. So people also like, each name is so confusing, so many meanings are there, lot of them overlap. In many cases, we talk about Ashtavyaparas, so they are very confusing. So how should we meditate upon the meanings? So the easiest way will be whatever direct meaning that we are mentioning, the first like one or two, three ways of meaning, they express the direct meaning. So the direct meaning can be thought about. And even in that case, like for example, Sambhava is the Sambhava, that name, and then Prabhava, they kind of have similar direct meaning also. But the variation you can see, like, you know, Akaya, Pravisam, Bhuma, Sakaha, the Ekakshas, one letter. So Pra also is one Ekakshara Nama for Paramatma. Sam also is Ekakshara Nama Paramatma. So Bhava, if you take Sam, Bhava, Prabhava, they kind of overlap, is it? Okay. This is perfectly fine. In fact, there are a lot of names which come multiple times. For example, Shriman. Shriman comes like four times. Pranadaha, it comes four times. Pranaha, it comes three times. So a lot of the words come multiple times. So there are enough meanings that can be associated with the word. So each word, there is no rule that it has to come only once. It can come multiple times. If that is the case, then a similar sounding words being there as the nama is also no problem. So they can be there. So Sambhava, Prabhava, I am getting confused. If anybody thinks like that, there is no need to worry about that, because they can overlap. Because Paramatma, Vandu Gunadul Ananta Gunagalu, in his, each of the guna, we meditate upon his multiple gunas. So his gunas are Ananta gunas. So you think about whatever naturally comes when that word is uttered with this, whatever meaning exploration we are doing, from that, whatever comes to your mind, naturally, don't have to exert yourself or get over worried about things. So just naturally, whatever comes to your mind with that nama, whatever meanings that you can think about those meanings, and that will help you in going about the name. So that one wanted to mention one thing. And another thing that comes to many people's minds is, we say his aprakruta, any prakruta can be, thing can be seen. Paramatma will keep on saying his aprakruta rupa. So like, you know, that's why he's called Prakrushta Janma, or when avataras he's taking, like Rama, Krishna avataras, everybody is seeing them. So in that case, is he taking any prakruta form when he giving avataras? So he has one prakruta and aprakruta, two forms are there for him. Is that the case? So this kind of doubts also come to many people. So his aprakruta means always aprakruta only, but Paramatma's samarthya is such that even though he is aprakruta swarupa, with his capability, he can make himself appear. So if you take Akasha, it is apra, you know, it is not visible. It's prakruta, but still not visible. So there is no such rule that if something is prakruta, it should be visible. Aprakruta means it should not be visible. That rule is not there. Even if it's prakruta, akasha can be not visible, really. Chakshu, your eyes cannot see akasha, but still it can give you an illusory appearance. Like, for example, you see the blueness, whatever in akasha. So even though it is akasha itself is not visible, it can give an apparent vision of blueness. So prakruta, though invisible, can become visible. So aprakruta also, though invisible, Paramatma can make it appear to us. So he, in all his avataras, he doesn't have to take a prakruta form to be visible to for people. he can remain in a prakruta form and he can still, with his samarthya or capability, make it visible for people. So he is not taking one prakruta and one, because there is no prakruta form at all. Paramatma in Moola Rupa or Avatar Rupas, everywhere, every form of his is a prakruta only. So there is no such thing as he's taking both prakruta and aprakruta forms. So this capability, how we can think about that means each word can, like for example, the word that we are going to see, Prabhu. Prabhu means samartha, capable. He is capable of anything, sarva samartha. So he can make himself appear. That is his samarthya. So that's why Prabhu Rishaha samarthascha, you know, like, you know, the Abhidhana, Gita Bhashya Acharya quotes from, you know, in 11th Adhyaya, 4th Sloka, it says, Prabhu Rishuraha, Prabhu Risha samarthascha. So that Prabhu means prakarshena bhavati, samarthyena bhavati, sarva samartha. That is the meaning of the word Prabhu. So he is Prabhu, samartha. And what kind of samarthya is there? Means like, you know, one of the ways we can think about is like, you know, Bhagavan, we say like, you know, Bhagavan means, Bhaga is Shadguna Aishwaryas, six Aishwaryas that we think about. And Acharya from Vishnu Purana says, Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasaha Shriyaha Jnana Vairagya Yoschaiva Shannam Bhaga Itirana. So the word Bhaga is described as six opulence or six kind of characteristics or capabilities. Samagra says Samagrasya. So Samagra is to be taken for each of them. Samagra Aishwarya, Samagra Virya, Samagra Yashashu, Samagra Shriya, Samagra Jnana, Samagra Vairagya. All these things can be taken. In that Aishwarya, whatever is talking, that is what is indicated by this word Prabhu. So what is Aishwarya? Aishwarya does not mean property, wealth, or whatever popular meaning that we think about. Aishwarya basically came from the word Ishwara. Ishwara, the noun form for that is Aishwarya. So the Aishwarya, one special Sanskrita pratyaya, it makes the word formation, form that word kind of, you know, Taddita Rupa. So that Aishwarya is Ishwaratva. Ishwaratva, what is Ishwaratva? Ishwara, the root word Ishavara. Ishaha, again, that's why Samartha, that Ishwara, Isha, Samartha, Prabhu, they are all synonymous. So Isha, Ishanat, Samarthyat, one who is capable, one who can have the lordship, we call in English lordship, capability. So they go together. One who can be a lord, a leader, or someone who is ahead of everybody, someone who can control, he is called Isha. Because he has samarthya, he is called Isha. Because he is capable, so they're synonymous. So the Isha, and then Vara means Shrestha. So Ishwara means Ishanat Samarthyat Narayanaha Ishwaraha. So that's why Ishwara Sarvabhutana Buddheshe Janatishtati. There also Ishwara Shabda Narayana Para only it is told. So that Isha, among Ishas, is Shrestha. That's why it's Vara. Ishanam Varaha, that's why Ishwara, and that Ishwaratva is nothing but Aishwarya. That Tva Pratyaya or Aishwarya, that Pratyaya, it is taken as Aishwarya is capability. So that first quality of the Bhagavan, that is taken as Prabhutva. That's why it's Prabhutva, Ishwaratva is same as Prabhava or Aishwarya. So Prabhu is Sarva Samartha. So Bhagavan in his Shadguna Aishwaryas, the first one, which is Samagra Aishwarya, that is described here. And the other ones, when we get an occasion, we talk about other meaning, other like Samagra Virya. What is Virya? Or Samagra Yashas. Yashas means Kirti. What does that mean? Or Shriyaha Sampat. What those words indicate, when we go to those words, in that context, we'll talk about that, like, you know, Jnana, Vairagya. Why does Paramatma have Vairagya? Vairagya is for people who do sadhana. Why should Paramatma have Vairagya? People will get this doubt. You know, basically, in simple terms, if you say Vairagya does not mean giving up everything. That is not the only. Vairagya is Vishesha Raga or Vigata Raga. Both are Vairagya. whatever is the great thing that is there, knowing that as great and having only that is one part of it, viraga, vishesha raga. That means in a vishesha thing, having the raga. Like in our case, vairagya is we have attachment to Paramatma, and whatever is against the Paramatma concept, we avoid that. So vigata raga. So we detach ourselves for things that are anti-Paramatma and attach to things that are pro-Paramatma. So that is what is vairagya. So that same kind of thing we apply for Paramatma, he never attached, nirlipta we call. That means he is not attached to anything. So he has perfect vairagya. So vairagya is a lakshana of Paramatma because he is Padmapatra Mimambhasa. So he is like not attached to anything. And he knows his greatness. Paramatma knows his own greatness. And he knows the deficiency of all the rest of the people. He knows about his own Swatantra. He knows the Paratantra of all the people. So he is completely knowledgeable. Because of that is Prabhutva, Aishwarya comes for him. So these Lakshana, Shadgunas actually, one Lakshana will indicate other Lakshanas, but Aishwarya, basically the first of it, indicates the one of the meanings for the word Prabhu. So that's why he is called Prabhu. Samartha, that is the meaning. And then the next meaning that we are going to look at is, he is Prabhu, Samartha. Why means, Kartum, Akartum, Anyatha, Kartum, Cha, Samarthaha. This, we talk about this during the Swatantra Lakshana. What is Swatantra? Swatantra, you know, Kattrutva, when we analyze that, we went through that. So, he can do and avoid. Kartum is doing. Akartum, avoiding doing something. Anyatha kartum, doing something in a different way. So Paramatma, he does this. So how do we contemplate upon that? Paramatma, whatever is to be done, he can do it. And whatever is to be avoided, he can avoid. So he has the capability of conducting things any way he wants. So this is what is Samarthya. So Paramatma, whatever comes to his sankalpa, it happens. We call him Satya Sankalpa. That Satya Sankalpatva is nothing but this Prabhutva. Sarva Samarthatva is nothing but Satya Sankalpatva. So he can do anything. He can stop from doing anything. That means something is supposed to happen. He can prevent it. Or he can make things go in a different direction. So all this Paramatma can do it. So that is what is indicated by Kartum, Akartum, Anyatha, Akartum. That is same meaning as the Prabhu. And Prabhu is actually in Moksha Dharma, it says, Nasti Tasmat Parambhutam Purushat Vai Sanatanat. In Moksha Dharma, in Gita Bhashya, in the same place, Acharya explains, like, you know, in the 11th Adhyaya, 4th Sloka, it says, Nasti Tasmat Parambhutam Purushat Vai Sanatanat. So, Prabhu is all Samartha means nobody, that Sarva Samarthatva automatically implies that no one else is more than him. So Prabhu, Parambhutam. The word Prabhu, if you split it in two parts, that first one is Pra, second one is Bhu. Bhu, Sattayam, existence. Pru, Para, Para, Para. Para and Pra, the Akara Lopa if you do, Para becomes Pra. Para also Sreshta. Para means others. Para is also Shatru. Para is Sreshta. Three different meanings, of course many other meanings are there, but mainly these three meanings. One meaning for Para is other person, another meaning for Para is Shatru, another meaning for Para is Sreshta. So if you take the Sreshtatva, he is Prabhu. That Ekakshara also Pra indicates Prakarshatva and Sreshtatva, Paratva. So he is Prabhu means Para, Sreshta and Bhuta, existence. He gives the Sreshta existence to others, whoever are to be like, you know, Yadyad Vibhuti Matsattvam. We saw that in, like, you know, in 10th Adhyaya, the sloka comes, Paramatmas Vibhuti Rupas, when explaining, he says, if we see speciality anywhere, that speciality is because of the grace of Paramatma. He, you know, kind of, in a one special form, is present in there and gives speciality for that entity or person or anything. So that Vibhuti Rupa, we talked about that Vibhuti Rupa is happening because of the Prabhutva of Paramatma. He makes himself present in a particular way in an object and makes that a samartha. That means every capability that we see in this world, that capability is coming because of Paramatma. So that's why it's called Prabhutva, Parambhutam Purusha. And nobody else is greater than him. He is Parabhuta, greatest, and no one else can exceed him. That's why Nasti Tasmat Parambhutam Purusha Advaisana. No one else is higher than him. That is indicated by this word Prabhu. So that is another one. And another one is Prabhu Prathamam. Mehanavata iti sa ha eva prabhavat. In Gita Bhashya, that one sloka says, Prabhu prathamam mehanavat. That means the mehana is present in occupying, that means pervasion. The pervasion is as a pervading entity, having the power of pervasion, he is prabhavat, prabhu tvena asti. So, through pervasion, he has the samarthya, that is indicated by the word Prabhu. So Prabhu also can be seen as a vyapaka rupa, that is another meaning. And then prabhavat samartho bhavat iti. So the other meaning is Prabhu who means Vasudevaha Saryasya prabhavat prabhu, Rigveda Samhita one saying comes. So this is also like kind of supporting the same meaning, samarthakatva of paramatma Vasudeva rupa, in Vasudeva form. He is Sarva Samartha, and Sri Krishna, when he showed his Vishwarupa to Arjuna, so he says, Arjuna addressing Prabho Samartha. So he does the Sambodhana saying, hey Prabho, that means Arjuna is referring to the Samarthatva of Paramatma when he takes the Vishwarupa. So that's why he is called Prabhava. Manyase yadi tat shakya maya drashtumiti Prabho Yogeshwara tato me tvam darshaya atmanam avyayam. If you think I am fit enough to see your form, Vishwarupa, hey Paramatma, can you please show me your Vishwarupa? When Arjuna requests that to Arjuna, Arjuna requests that to Krishna, he is addressing Krishna as Prabho, Prabhu. So that addressing he is making, so Prabho. So manyase yadi iti yatra prabhu shabdaha na swamitva matrartha kintu tava ati samarthyat tuvat samarthyena eva atindriyasya api darshanamiti bhavena prayuktaha. So here prabhu is not just mentioning as swami, prabhu, just a swami, ordinary meaning of swami is not ordinary meaning of swami, but sarvaswami, sarva prabhu, sarva samartha. In that meaning the word prabhu is used there. And then Amarakosha, there's one Adibhuhu, Nayako, Neta, Prabhu. So it puts all the synonyms together. The way Amarakosha is organized is it puts the synonyms, antonyms, and the words of the same meaning together. So there, Amarakosha, it mentions Adibhu, Nayaka, Neta, and Prabhu as synonyms. So Prabhu has all these meanings also. Adibhu, that means one who is like controlling everybody, Nayaka, leading everybody, Neta also similarly leading others, leader qualities. So absolute leader qualities are indicated by the word Prabhu. And in Gita Sloka Mula itself, it says, Gati Bartha Prabhu Sakshi, in the 9th Adhyaya, 18th Sloka, it says, Prabhu, Prabhu means Gatihi, Bartha, Sakshi, all this, Paramatma, you are the ultimate refuse for everybody, you are Sakshi, that's why you are called Prabhu. So that it is indicated. And Prakata Bhuhu Ashaya Anyashaya Yasmat Saha Prabhavaha Prakrushtva Pranamaka Swayameva Sasya Bhuhu Ashaya Yasya. So Prabhu means, another way of meaning is, one who is Ashaya to himself, is Ashaya for others, and his Ashaya to himself, no one else is capable of being his Ashaya. That means he does not seek refuge from anybody. That is indicated by the word Prabhu. So these are some of the meanings that we can think about Prabhu. And there is a way that you can think about the meanings yourself also come up. For example, Prabhu, if you split it into two parts, Pra and Bha, Bha, Ekakshara Sloka, like Acharya wrote in Yamaka Bharata, where 28 times the Bha is repeated, and Narahritaru gave 28 meanings, and we saw quite a few of them in our previous name exploration. Bha Deeptau, Bha Prakashne, Bha Sankshiptau, Bha Vyaptau, like this, the word Bha, Sandhane, all these meanings we saw. And you think about all those meanings. All those meanings are embedded in this word Prabhu. So that Bha, if you take as a Pratipadika, or Bha can be taken Bhu Dhatu, Bhu Sattayam, existence. So from that you can take. So two ways you can take the second letter, Bhu, from Bha, Ekakshrat, and then Bhu, root word, Dhatu, verbal root or noun form root. Two ways of the root words and two different sets of meanings, each one going into multiplicity. Bha, so many meanings. Bhu, existence. Existence, he is existing as the ultimate entity, and he gives the existence for all the things that exist. Even the eternal things, they exist because of him only. The existence is supported by him only. That is why everything is dependent upon him. So that all independence and making all the others dependent on him, that is also indicated by the letter Bha, Bhu, Bhu Sattaya. And this Pra, you can take it as a separate word implying Pra, Prakarshatva, one who has that, or it can qualify the second letter. So Prakarsha Bhava, Prakarsha Bhuti, Prakarsha Aishwarya, Prakarsha. So Pra can be taken as a prefix for Bhu, or so you can explore, you can devise the meanings yourself by going to the earlier we have used, whatever we have used, using those meanings and applying them here also. So you can do that. So that will give you multiple meanings. So many other meanings also can be contemplated from this by splitting and breaking up the word Prabhu. So I think before I close, some of the things that we can talk about, that kartum, akartum, anyatha kartum, how we can think about what kind of a chintana can be made, this doing, not doing, or doing otherwise, how we can think about. For example, if the question that comes to everybody's mind is, he can do anything he wants, right? So then can he create, like you say, for example, hair's horn, that doesn't exist. So if Paramatma is Sarva Samartha, can he create a hare's horn, or can he make a horse to have a horn? Because horses don't have horns. But can he create horns for the horse, or can he create horns for the rabbits? Can he do that? If somebody asks the question, because he's capable of doing anything, so can he do that or not? The simple question, answer for that will be, for that question, when Paramatma created the Srishti, he gave certain properties for certain things. He himself gave the properties. So he doesn't not want to go against his own rules. That means he made the rules. Can he break the rules that he made himself? Sure, he can. But he does not do that, because he made the rules. So he says, okay, hare is done one that does not have the horn. Horse is the one that does not have the horn. So this is the rule that he made. And if he breaks his own rules, that means he is breaking the rule that he himself has made. He will not do that, because he is a protector of those rules. So he is making a hare not to have the horn. And if he counters it and makes the hare have the horn, that means his one form is going against his another form. That he will never happen, because he is self-consistent. He makes, so his all capability will not make him go against the rules that he made himself. That same thing will answer other questions also. People have the questions, can God commit suicide? Can God create a stone that he cannot lift? So these statements people make, that means they are trying to put one form of the Lord anti to another form of the Lord. For example, his all capability is he can create anything he wants. His all capability also, he can lift anything he wants. So if he can lift everything, if he can create everything, asking the question, can he create a stone that he cannot lift, that means his lifting capability is put against his creation capability. You are putting a contest between the two capabilities of the Lord, which is incorrect. Because if he is all capable, means he supports his own capabilities. He is a supporter of his own capabilities. So he will not contend his own capabilities. Samarthya is such that you don't create a possibility of going against your own samarthya. Your one capability cannot clash against your another capability. That is impossible. So that's why the question is a meaningless question. Same way, he can undo akartum. He can undo anything he wants. So can he, for example, sattvic jivas do good karmas and bad people do bad karmas or whatever. So can he make suddha sattvika? So all people who are fully sattvika persons do only evil actions, and most fully evil person do only good actions, because he can do undo anything, right? So people, good people tend to do good actions, so prevent them, and bad people do bad actions, prevent them from that, and do make bad people do only good actions, good people do only bad actions, because he can do undo anything. So can he undo that way? Because he is akartum samarthaha, he can undo anything. So can he undo that? Means no, the same thing, his own form, he is there as a protector of the good people, preventing them from doing bad actions, and if he goes against his, that means his own protection capability is gone. Same thing, can he create, convert a sattvika jiva into tamasika jiva, tamasika jiva into sattvika jiva? Can he convert? Means that we talked about it, that is equivalent of killing one jiva and creating another jiva. So that's why that akartum form cannot be used to counter God's own capabilities. Same way, anyatha akartum, he can make it do something else. So, Bhagavad Dveshis are there, this similar thing as akartum type of thing, but in a slightly different way. Bhagavad Dvesha, whoever are naturally Bhagavad Dveshis, make them do some other way, make them love God or make them have full devotion to God. Can he do that? Means anyatha akartum? No, that is the same as killing a jiva and another. So that is where it comes to jiva destruction. That is not Paramatma's way of doing, because he is the protector of jiva swabhava, so he will not alter the jiva swabhava. So anyatha akartum cannot be used like that. So these are the shastra concepts are so consistent. So the consistency can be seen in exploring the meanings of these words, prabhu or whatever. So that samarthya, his samarthya is fully consistent samarthya. It is not an inconsistent samarthya. So this kind of a thinking should be there. So here I am passing that. So any questions are there, you can feel free to ask the questions. Hare Srinivasa, Sikshnar Pramastu.